Margaret Atwood is widely considered one of the best writers in English today. Her best-selling and critically acclaimed books, and those two don't always go together, include The Handmaid's Tale, The Robber Bride, and The Blind Assassin. For the last decade, Margaret Atwood's been working on a speculative fiction trilogy. The first book was called Oryx and Crake, and she's just published the final volume, called Mad Atom.
Rope. About the events of that evening, the events that set human malice loose in the world again, Toby later made two stories. The first story was the one she told out loud to the children of Crake. It had a happy outcome, or as happy as she could manage. The second, for herself alone, was not so cheerful. It was partly about her own idiocy, her failure to pay attention, but it was also about speed. Everything had happened so quickly. She'd been tired, of course. She must have been suffering from an adrenaline plunge. After all, she'd been going strong for 2 days, with a lot of stress and not much to eat. The day before, she and Wren had left the safety of the Mad Atom Cobhouse enclave that sheltered the few survivors from the global pandemic that had wiped out humanity. They'd been tracking Wren's best friend, Amanda, and they'd found her just in time, because the two painballers who'd been using her had almost used her up. Toby was familiar with the ways of such men. She'd been almost killed by one of them before she'd become a God's gardener. Anyone who'd survived painball more than once had been reduced to the reptilian brain. Sex until you were worn to a fingernail was their mode. After that, you were dinner. They liked the kidneys. Toby and Wren had crouched in the shrubbery while the painballers argued over the raconte they were eating and whether to attack the Crakers and what to do next with Amanda. Wren had been scared silly. Toby hoped she wouldn't faint, but she couldn't worry about that because she was nerving herself to fire. Which to shoot first, the bearded one or the short hair? Would the other have time to grab their spray gun? Amanda wouldn't be able to help or even run. They had a rope around her neck with the other end tied to the leg of the bearded one. A wrong move by Toby and Amanda would be dead.
Very nice, thank you. Mad Atom is the final book in a trilogy that began with Oryx and Crake and Year of the Flood a few years later. I've seen that you've described this one as jauntier than the previous book, but I have to say, from listening to even those first few pages, doesn't sound particularly jaunty, does it?
Well, that was a reprise of the previous less jaunty events. It gets jauntier after that. That's only page 9.
But it does kind of sum up where things are at the beginning of the book. It helps us to understand it, and it moves us forward. It gets jauntier from there. Can you give us a kind of a storyline?
Well, it gets a bit jauntier. There are 3 time levels in the trilogy. One is before the waterless flood. The next is during the waterless flood, which is a pandemic virus that acts very rapidly and to which humanity has no immunity. And then the third time period, which we're in now, is after that has happened. And I think after the worst is over, you always get a bit jauntier, don't you think?
You begin hoping for the future, I guess.
Yes, you're in a position from which you can plan forward at least a couple of weeks ahead, maybe.
One of the plans forward started much earlier, as a matter of fact, and we meet them right away at the beginning of this, the Crakers. We've met them before in the earlier volumes, but if you're picking up here, it's important to know who they are. They are genetically engineered humanoids?
They're genetically engineered humans, I maintain, who have had some of the defects removed from them that have bedeviled us over the millennia and have got us into a lot of scrapes. For instance, they have built-in sunblock, which would be a good thing, and they have built-in insect repellent, which I'm all for, and they have extra thick soles on their feet, and therefore they don't need the clothing industry, so they will never have any cotton plantations. nor will they be killing animals and wearing their skins. So they also have built-in purring, which they use to self-heal. And I did get some pushback on that from the first book when I put it in. But I note that science has now been working on that. And yes, cats purring apparently does have something to do with self-healing. And you will note that your cat will take quite an interest in you if you're ill, and it will get up and purr on the afflicted part. And we're now told that if you have a migraine headache, you should put a cat on your head. There are no instructions as to how to keep it there. So, you know, if somebody can invent that, the wear-to-work model, put a cat on your head.
But I think most cat owners have had the experience of a cat wrapped around their head.
Absolutely. And you know that if somebody comes into the house and is afraid of cats, your cat will immediately go to that person because they want to help out. So they have self-healing purring, and better than everything, they will never suffer from romantic disappointment because they mate seasonally, unlike us. And to make things even clearer, so there will never be any confusion, parts of them turn blue at that time. And they do it in groups so that there isn't a paternity issue. And they will never have to have agriculture either because they can eat leaves and grass.
Mad Adam is, of course, the conclusion of a trilogy. It started with Oryx and Craig. Each of them has been described as dystopian. I guess the whole is called a dystopian trilogy, but I'm told that that's not the word you would use. Is that fair?
Well, these words get batted around quite a bit. So people use the word apocalypse to mean something bad has happened. But usually it means everything has been destroyed, which is not the case in these books. It's only human beings who have suffered a sad fate. Animals, plants, and fish are actually doing better, as they probably would. So dystopia usually means a very unpleasant society that we would not wish to live in. And that could be used about the first phase of time in the trilogy in which corporate rule is supreme and government has been reduced to a sock puppet. And people don't have anything outside the system to which they can turn for redress against the excesses of the system, which is why you don't want a monopoly and why you don't want government and business melding. So that part could be called a dystopia. The actual waterless flood could be called a cataclysm. And the part afterwards, I'm not sure what you would call it, because it's better for some, though obviously worse for all those who are no longer in a living condition.
I understand you use the word eustopia.
Well, that was when I was discussing the form. And what I said was that every literary utopia contains a little dystopia within it. And every literary dystopia contains a little utopia within it. So it's a yin-yang arrangement. They are as forms joined at the hip. They're twins. And you can't really write a utopia unless you understand that there's something worse. And you can't write a dystopia unless you understand that there's something better.
And that's, to some extent, where Mad Adam comes in. There is maybe something better in the middle of this?
Yeah, there's certainly something better, and there's certainly also something worse.
You sound to me like a fairly optimistic person. Would you think of yourself that way?
Well, I'm just a little bundle of sunshine in my daily life. Why not? Every writer is inherently optimistic, no matter how pessimistic the content they may produce, because writing is in itself an optimistic act. Just think about it. You're assuming a future reader, which is a big leap. Every time you write something down, you're assuming that somebody's going to read it at the other end. So you're also assuming the possibility of human communication. And you're assuming that that's a good thing. So when you're writing a book, you're assuming that you're going to finish it, not always justified by the facts. You're assuming that somebody's then going to publish it, also not so easy. Then you're assuming that people will read it. Wow, what a jump. And then that they will like and understand it, which is a pretty big bunch of optimism. And that is why Jimmy and Oryx and Craig does not keep a Robinson Crusoe-like journal of his experiences, because he cannot imagine a future reader. He thinks he's the last person on earth who can read. Whereas Toby does, because she can imagine future readers. And she even goes so far as to go about creating them.
Margaret Atwood is the author of Mad Atom. It's the final volume in a trilogy that began with Oryx and Crake, her 14th novel. You can find a link to my extended conversation with Margaret on our website at ttbook.org. You can also get in touch with us there. You'll find links to our Facebook and Twitter accounts.